Hello and welcome. I'm Patrick Hamble, Senior Editor of the Endocrinology Network, and I'll be your host for this episode of the Endocrine Outlook. This episode of the Endocrine Outlook podcast features a conversation with Dr. Terry Lipman, PhD, CRNP of the University of Pennsylvania. In the interview, Dr. Lipman discusses and offers perspective on a recent study she led examining disparities in insulin pump use among children with type 1 diabetes. An analysis of data from a Philadelphia-based center, results indicate Hispanic and Black children were less likely than their non-Hispanic white counterparts to receive an insulin pump. In the following podcast, Lipman, who serves as the Assistant Dean of Community Engagement at the School of Nursing at the University of Pennsylvania, sheds light on what she thinks are the most effective ways to confront these disparities at an individual and also a societal level. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Dr. Lipman.
You could just give my guests a brief introduction on who you are, and then we can dive into our conversation.
Sure. Okay. I am Dr. Terry Lipman. I am the Assistant Dean for Community Engagement at the School of Nursing at the University of Pennsylvania, and I'm also a nurse practitioner at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and I'm a professor of pediatrics in both the School of Nursing and Perelman School of Medicine.
All right, thank you for that. And now for our audience members, the reason for our discussion today, we're going to be looking at a study that Dr. Lipman led examining disparities in insulin pump use in children with type 1 diabetes. Now, especially at this point in our country, disparities, especially racial and ethnic disparities, are a real talking point. What were the biggest findings from your study?
The biggest finding from our study is that the racial disparities in insulin pump treatment at the diabetes center are increasing. Are growing. So as we're more mindful of disparities and the issues with disparities and what that means for health equity and long-term care, it's particularly concerning that our disparities are increasing.
Definitely. Now, what do you think are the biggest drivers of these disparities, in your opinion?
So I think that as technology advances, so insulin pumps are becoming more advanced, there may be, and I don't have an answer for your question, so this is all hypothesis, these are all postulates. It may be that we are more disparate in our thinking about parental competency. So in our judgment about for whom we should prescribe insulin pumps, we consider the competency of the family. And we know that providers tend to look at white families as more competent. There are data that show that. So it's possible that as complexity of technology increases, and we are considering the competency of families, that we're also considering that white families will be more competent than Black families in managing complex technology. There's also the question about who drives the visit and whether, in general, white families tend to be more assertive in asking for certain types of technology. So unfortunately, I don't know the answer, and I wish I did, because I think if we better understood the answer for these disparities, we would be decreasing them, not increasing. But we do see that over time, the disparities are increasing, and we know that what that's going to mean in terms of diabetes outcomes and long-term life expectancy.
All right, and now let me ask you before I get to sort of the more actionable questions. This obviously took place in a large urban medical center. Do you think that you would see similar results? Maybe the disparities may not be as large, but do you think you would see a similar trend if you were to look at rates in, say, a suburban center?
Well, the advantage that we have is that we have a very racially and ethnic diverse center. So you would have to find a suburban center that would have excellent representation of different racial and ethnic groups. I think what you're questioning, maybe, and you can tell me if I'm correct, is whether the income of the parents or the education of the parents may be different in an urban center and a suburban center, and maybe that would change the disparity. Is that your question?
Yeah, it's along those lines. I know you guys used insurance status as sort of a surrogate marker for socioeconomic status. But yeah, that was more or less along the lines of my questioning, because there's a lot that goes into that.
That's an important question, because that's a question, that's a point that clinicians often make, is that it's not about racial disparities, it's about economic disparities. And it's about the consideration as a clinician that you make, or that we try to make, and probably we're very poorly informed to make those decisions, that if someone is adversely affected by social determinants of health, as they are likely to be if they're living in low income or in poverty, then maybe advanced technology is not the best choice for that family. However, when we look at those data that we have, and I was part of a study out of the Type 1 Diabetes Exchange, where similarly they controlled for parental education and also parental income, white children were still significantly more likely to be treated with insulin pumps than Black children, even in the highest economic category and even in the highest level of parental education. You're right, our study uses health insurance as a proxy, which is the poor proxy for income, but it's the only data that we had access to. But our data are similar to others in that it really doesn't move the needle when families have higher income or have more education. The disparity by race still exists.
Okay, and now moving on from sort of the findings of your study, obviously this is sort of the million-dollar question, what can be done? Other than just saying to physicians, be cognizant of it, what can be done on an individual level for clinicians to sort of mitigate the impact that these disparities could have?
Yeah, so I think, again, you ask a very important question, and I'd like to look at the individual level, and then I'd also like to look at the societal level. So the individual level is, yes, we all need to be aware. When I first presented these data a number of years ago on the racial disparities, and I remember being asked whether I felt bad about the results of our data. And certainly I am disturbed that we have disparities, but the first step in eradicating disparities is identifying disparities. So I have epidemiology training. So until we describe the prevalence of disparities in our centers, we can never hope to address them and eradicate them. So certainly we all need to look at our centers in terms of disparities. And I'm looking specifically at racial and ethnic, but there's also gender disparities, and there are a number of disparities that we could evaluate. So once we identify disparities, it's important for everyone to be aware that the disparities exist in the center, and then to think about how disparities could be lessened. So one thing that has been proposed is to have standardized, and we're talking specifically about insulin pump treatment, standardized protocols for insulin pump treatment. So that all children, and then whatever criteria are decided, are treated with insulin pumps. So there's problems with that approach. And one problem is that for many years, centers limited insulin pump treatment for children who had better hemoglobin A1C levels. So the problem with that is it's likely that children with higher hemoglobin A1C levels could most benefit, and also that we know that hemoglobin A1C levels tend to be lower in white children. So you're setting yourself up with criteria that are going to disparately disadvantage one group. And then the other thing is, do we take judgment out of clinical practice? Do we just practice based on guidelines without judgment. And we could argue that for, you know, the next hour, but I think that there are advantages and disadvantages. The other thing that we need to do, and that's something that we're doing right now, we have a study going on right now, is we're talking to parents, because we believe, I do know that we believe we want to give equitable care, and really don't have a good understanding as to why we have such disparities in insulin pump treatment. Is it how we approach families? Is it that we're not approaching families? Is it that we give different information to white families than we do to Black families? We don't know that. So we're talking to parents to get a better sense. We're talking to parents, white parents and Black parents, parents with whose children have technology and parents whose children don't, to get a better sense of what really prompted their decision making around technology and how were they approached. So that's what we're trying to do on more or less an individual or a center level. But if we're looking at more of an upstream approach, what are the issues, what are the societal factors that are continuing to drive and contribute to racial disparities? And we know that there is structural societal racism. How do we address that? How do we evaluate our practices for microaggressions? How do we evaluate our practices for the kind of subliminal decisions that we make based on our biases? And what does our provider group, our clinician group, does it mirror our patient practices? Or do we have largely white clinicians who are working with families who are of color, families who may be of lower income? Do we understand the lived environment to then understand better how to provide the best care? At the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, we are employing in our practice community health workers who are working with families in the home who have a shared lived environment, who are part of our team, to give us a better understanding of really not just where the families are, but how we're missing the boat and what we're doing incorrectly. So I think that there are many issues to address, but we really need to acknowledge that this is not an individual center, it's not individual patients, it's a societal issue, and it's part of the inequity in healthcare across our country, and many of these inequities are seen globally as well.
I think it's important to note that even though this is just one urban center that you guys were looking at in Philadelphia, that it is definitely a societal issue. And now let me ask you, I know you mentioned you had an ongoing study, but let me ask you specifically on this topic still, do you think that the ongoing pandemic has exacerbated this issue? I'm sort of in the boat of assuming it has. How do you think that this ongoing pandemic has set these disparities further apart?
Definitely. It's widened the disparities. It's widened the disparities in a couple of ways. And again, speaking specifically with children with diabetes, we've switched to telehealth for many families, particularly early in the pandemic. Caring for children via telehealth who have diabetes technology provides a much more valuable interaction. So if we're able to look at insulin pump downloads, if we're able to look at continuous glucose monitoring, we feel like we have a much better sense of how a child is doing. Well, we start with knowing that our white families are more likely to have diabetes technology than Black families. So right there's a disparity in terms of the kinds of data that we can receive. Secondly, we also know that certainly lower income families, but specifically lower income families of color, are less likely to have the technology needed to connect with telehealth visits. So there are families who we are most concerned about who are falling off our radar. They're not in school. So we have we say that the school nurses are unpaid members of our team. We have school nurses who are vigilant around children with type 1 diabetes. Children who are not in school don't have that vigilance. We may not be able to connect because of telehealth. If we can connect because of telehealth, we can connect. We have more technology information on white families than we do Black families. So we see that children who live in low-income households are more likely to be exposed to COVID-19. So for all those reasons, we're widening disparities. Another point that I wanted to make in terms of what's happening during the pandemic is just how families are connecting with us, can connect with us. So we're continually concerned about the impact of the pandemic. We know that families are more reluctant to come to the hospital. There are some data from other centers that more children are presented in with diabetic ketoacidosis because of the fear of contracting COVID-19 by coming to a hospital. So they're home longer before they actually present in an emergency department. So this is an issue that is affecting all of us and will be with us for quite a time. We thought initially that this would be a few weeks, maybe a few months, and we see now that this will be a long-term issue that we need to address.
Thank you for that. And now, just lastly, was there anything else that you wanted to touch on from your study before I let you go?
The main thing that I want to touch on is for us to all be aware of the biases that we have, for us to all be aware that we need to look at our data in our individual centers and then be mindful that we need to do something about it. And it's interesting that I say that because I just reported on 15 years of disparities in the center where I work. And I always make a point of saying that my patients are, I'm not informing on my colleagues, my patients are in the 1500 patients that we reported. So I'm very aware that the biases that I'm talking about, I also have those biases and I'm constantly striving to do better. But until we really recognize the disparities that we have, it's difficult for us to really move forward because often we believe that we give equitable care, that we provide equal care to white, Black, to Latino children. And until we look at our data, I think that, you know, we certainly found in 2005 that our data were surprising. We did not predict that we were disparately prescribing insulin pumps. And so I would encourage us to look at our data, but I would also acknowledge that we, although we look at our data, we've been unsuccessful. And we're hoping that by employing community health workers, taking a broader concept rather than in a broader context, rather than looking at individual clinicians and patients, but actually the broader context and addressing structural racism, microaggressions, societal issues, that will be more successful. But I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this and to link with colleagues all over the country as we strive to make things better.
Thank you for that. And thank you for touching on that during your last answer. Kudos to you and everybody at Penn Medicine. You guys lead the way in a lot of things, and it's good to see that you guys are taking initiative on something like this.
And I also always want to put a plug in and say how important it is. This is a study that's published in the Journal of Pediatric Nursing. We have a similar study on a wider perspective that's coming out in pediatric diabetes in a week or two. But the importance of nurses and nurse practitioners and the diabetes team, really key. So thank you for the opportunity to say that.
That's it for this episode of the Endocrine Outlook podcast. For the latest in endocrinology news, be sure to head to endocrinologynetwork.com. Thank you for listening.